Welcome to The Warcast, your geopolitical briefing that tells you what you need to know, when you need to know it. The Warcast is for War on the Rocks members only. Spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to sign up at warontherocks.com/subscribe.
This episode is part two of my conversation with Julian Sanchez of the Cato Institute, where we discuss the national security implications of the Nunes memo.
Well, say this. This does raise an issue. Former Attorney General Mukasey was, and former General Counsel, White House Counsel under the Clinton administration, on the NewsHour last week, and what they were talking about this memo and saying that, well, if it's drawing a lot of questions about what the FISA court's doing, this may end up with information that was presented to the FISA court being brought into the public light, and that because there are too many questions at this point about what was used to authorize taps on Page. So do you think that is like, is this going to happen? Are we going to end up getting an insight into how the FISA court actually works through this process? Are those arguments going to come to light?
I think there's a much more live possibility of that than I would have said a week or two ago. We know now that the New York Times is essentially litigating under FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, in an attempt to seek the original underlying application for the Carter Page order. That would be pretty extraordinary. I think until 2002, there really had never been any kind of FISA court opinion or internal document made public. And between 2002 and the Snowden revelation, I think there was one other order from the court that was ultimately made public. And then post-Snowden, we've seen this incredible flood of FISA court opinions. So now we have, at least dozens on the public record, but there's still never been, to my knowledge, a FISA application made public. So this would be a first if that were publicized. And at this point, it may be that there's not really any other way to adjudicate dispute here. On the narrow question, well, how was the DNC described? Was there really a footnote that characterized the political sourcing of the Steele dossier, that I think has been established pretty well at this point. To the extent the debate now shifts to the sort of larger question of was this application adequate sort of on the evidence to justify a 90-day wiretap on an American citizen, that may now require the full release, or at least the release with appropriate redaction. The evidence actually presented to the court, that I expect to be fought reasonably hard, especially if there actually is other corroborating evidence that's cited. Again, for me, the question shifts at this point to, is that level of evidence normal? That is to say, I'm not really particularly concerned at this point that the FBI was deliberately attempting to deceive the court. That's what the Grassley letter focus on. And again, that has to do with whether they should have been more overt about whether the possibility that Steele had misled the FBI about whether he had talked to press impacted his credibility. That seems like something of a side issue, even if you agree that that was the case. I don't think that is support for some kind of scandalous misconduct. But for me, the question would be, well, bracketing that, is it the case that if they relied almost entirely on this sort of secondhand dossier and there was minimal corroboration of the information, at least in that initial application, is that something that it would be normal for the FISA court to regard as adequate? And that seems to me like a broader and in a way more important question to answer. There are, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,500 FISA warrants issued every year. I think last year about 300 and change were for U.S. persons, so American citizens or permanent residents. And it's worth, I think, knowing whether this is what's considered probable cause for FISA purposes. I should say, it may not be that abnormal. People are acting as though the idea that Page had a motive to dig up derogatory information automatically invalidates something the court could consider, the FBI should be willing to invoke. The FISA court is pretty regularly relying on information gained from terrorists. Maybe just the information they provided in the past was reliable is the reason you're willing to take what a terrorist is saying at their word. So, both criminal warrants and FISA orders often draw heavily on evidence provided by kind of shady people. The question is whether the FBI sort of did due diligence in dotting the I's and crossing the T's, tried to put that in context and ensure to the extent possible that they were acting on valid information. So to my mind, the fact that this was Oppo research is not automatically disqualifying. In general, right, people pay $150,000 for someone to attempt to discover real dirt. You don't need to pay an SMI6 officer these sort of lavish amounts of money to make stuff up. You can do that cheap. Right? There's lots of unemployed screenwriters in Hollywood. But, you would still, given that you're relying on hearsay, want them to kick the tires to the extent possible. So that, to my mind, is the critical question now. Yeah. And it would be, to my mind, almost unusual not to have more than this, because before getting to the point of obtaining a FISA, I would have expected, if Page is on their radar, assume they've already opened an investigation with Page as a subject, they're building PC for a FISA. I would expect them to pull telecommunication records, financial records, issue national security letters. It seemed like they would, as a first step, be gaining a whole lot of kind of hard documentary evidence, trying to catalog who Page was in contact with, whether he had suspicious money transfers, all sorts of things that might go toward either corroborating or conflicting with claims made in the dossier. So it would be, to my mind, odd if there were nothing of that sort that was part of the evidentiary basis presented to the FISC. But yeah, at this point, I'm first a lot more curious than I was to see the Democratic response. The Nunes memo was so sort of thin, I almost didn't think it was even necessary to publish the response. With Grassley sort of making some of the key claims that Nunes sort of inexplicably didn't, I'm now more interested in seeing their response. And then ultimately, if it's possible, the problem here being, there is a fair chance that they're going to want to redact away the sort of evidence that might be most probative, but the underlying FISA material to sort of judge not whether there was a cabal of the FBI engaged in a conspiracy, but whether the FISA court is granting wiretap orders based on what would seem like an appropriately high bar for wiretapping American citizens. I will say one issue sort of all of these documents have that they don't really address squarely is that this is an order that was renewed on three separate occasions, at least once with Trump's own appointee, Rod Rosenstein, at the National Security Division signing off on it. Even Grassley's letter hedges a little bit about whether dossier information that was not corroborated in the initial application might have gotten corroborated later. And again, there's a kind of two options here. It's either, much better for the FBI or much worse. On the one hand, it may be that surveillance that, which we now know sort of went on for about a year, the initial surveillance provided material that bolstered the initial claims and sort of validated their trust in Christopher Steele's findings. That doesn't erase concerns about whether the initial application was well justified, but it might at least, in a sense, show that perhaps their judgment wasn't so terrible in assessing Steele as credible. But then the other possibility is that there wasn't a lot of substantiating information, and they sort of wiretapped an American citizen for a year without much of a good reason. And again, that would be, I think, not reason to believe in an FBI conspiracy. It'd be reason to question whether the FISA court is an adequate safeguard.
We're over our normal time, but if you could indulge me for a few more minutes, because you've written in The Atlantic that the memo was harmful beyond, whatever's going on in the FISA courts. And, you know, there have been some other folks like Samantha Vinograd, also at Just Security, about how the memos made it harder for the FBI to work with informants and counterintelligence operations, and yours is about oversight. Could you speak for a couple minutes about the harm that the release of these memos is causing beyond the specific issues it's addressing?
Look, it is a pretty familiar conclusion among scholars of intelligence that congressional oversight of intelligence is not particularly good. I think the term the 9/11 Commission used was dysfunctional, and that's a pretty widely held view of the effectiveness of intelligence oversight in Congress. So we're not really starting from a great place. And so now you pile on top of that. First, you know, the release of the Nunes memo, which is a pretty transparently partisan document, is, even if there's some kernel of a legitimate critique in there somewhere, pretty tendentious. It is clearly weaving together a lot of different information in a rather tendentious and cherry-picked way, in an effort to make a case that's obviously geared toward serving Donald Trump's interests and trying to discredit the investigation into Russia. So you have a very serious claim about the potential political abuse of surveillance. It's made in a way that suggests it's not credible. Nothing about the way they've actually handled this looks like Congress trying to advance a serious concern about procedure or civil liberties violations. Just in terms of the effect of crying wolf, I think that's a harm. In general, law enforcement agencies and parts of the military, like NSA, have higher trust in terms of sort of public opinion, attitudes about those institutions than Congress does. You know, you want the overseer to be in a position, if they discover real political abuse, to be believed, to be in a position to win an argument with the intelligence community over whether they're doing something inappropriate. And so to the extent they harm their own credibility by behaving in an obviously partisan way, that I think is, you know, there has been a somewhat successful tradition, at least, of trying to insulate the intelligence communities from the appearance of behaving in a partisan manner. I think that's dangerous because you need them to be credible on these issues if they find something, even over denials from the intelligence community. So if they make a specious looking accusation, and it seems as though the intelligence community has been slandered, that makes it harder for them to point out wrongdoing in the future. And it's also the case that, you know, the intelligence community has quite a lot of leeway in practice in terms of how forthcoming it is to the overseers. You don't know what you don't know, and the people on the oversight committees are term limited. So if they want to try and to slow play or slow walk information that they are required to provide the intelligence committee, or be selective about what they draw attention to or what they spend time on in briefings, if they want to put up a bureaucratic fight over what kind of documents they're going to turn over, which they certainly did in the Nunes case, they can do that. And so the essential question there is, you know, how much do they see the oversight committees as useful, and to what extent do they trust them to handle sensitive information appropriately? And so if the sense of the general counsels at these agencies is, well, we hand over sensitive information and, you know, it ends up being released contrary to whatever agreements we made with the committees, and in a way that's pretty obviously geared toward scoring partisan political points and not making, you know, any kind of valid case about problems with investigations or practices, you know, that's going to make them think, with some justification, all right, you know, this isn't a serious enterprise and Congress can't be trusted to handle this information appropriately. And so they can't totally sort of deny the overseers information, but they can make it like pulling teeth. And I think the more sensitive information is used in service of documents like the Nunes memo, the harder it's going to be in the future for them to get a hold of the information they need to serve their oversight function properly.